हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Yes, ready for today's, what do you call it? Rocket surgery? Okay. Shankya philosophy developed elaborate explanations to argue the Parinamavad version of Satkaryavad, that a cause actually changes into its effect. These explanations are central to the whole Shankya system, which proceeds from the premise that the effect exists in its material cause even before the effect is produced. Right? Okay. In other words, there's an effect there that's coming from the cause. What's central here is that we'll see is they don't get down to, at least in this explanation here, but what is central to it is you have the primary creation. The primary creation means Krishna establishes whatever there is in the universe, all its relationships, whatever can be done, whatever can be gained from that. Whatever there is, whatever relationship is there between anything, what are the actions that can be performed and what results you can get. Right? So that's already there. That exists. Then when you perform an action, you simply manifest those things. Right? So ultimately what you're always going back to is that primordial element within anything. Right? It's just a matter of it being manifest. You have the desire for it, but your desire isn't actually for what's there, it's for what's coming from the primordial. Your action, though it is being done within the present observable, is actually based on the primordial action that can be performed. If it can't be performed, you can't perform it. Right? You can't jump out of your window and float up. Right? You jump out of your window and go down. That's just the way it's designed. Does that make sense? Right? Unless, of course, you've ingested a lot of helium. Then maybe you go up for a short time, but then after you go down. Then the result that you can get, that's also already established. You can't get a different result. You know what I'm saying? You can't take a firecracker, light it, and then after it explodes and you have a very nice lunch sitting there. It's not going to happen.
So how did the Hiranyakashipu reverse all the laws of karma?
Reverse the laws of karma? What does it mean he reversed the laws of
karma? Well, he had it so that you perform sinful activity, you were getting good result. You perform pious activity.
That's because he has the planets all tied up and walks on top of them. And if they don't want more trouble than that, then that's what they have to do for him. Like that.
And if there's material cause, is that in the legal sense of like it's the cause that matters? It's not in terms of the material world, is it?
No, it's in terms of the material world, but it's, in other words, it's the material cause is the universal form. It's Virat. You know what I'm saying?
So it is like the material, as in material energy cause. That's what
yes,
material
yeah, yeah. Okay. Means, of course, now because you identify with it, then you get the reaction. The reaction is yours. You know what I'm saying? If you don't identify with it, the reaction's not yours.
Yeah.
Like that. But in other words, the cause and effect, the primary cause is the element of Virat, which is the Purusha element, the aspect. And the effect, that's of the Virat Roop, that is the feminine aspect. Because the Virat Roop is half male, half female. Right? And so Brahma is born from there. That's why the primary creation is first, then Brahma is born, because he's born from Virat. right?
It's just another reading of it, like they say, a material witness, like. Is it something that matters?
That's the observable. But the point is behind the observable is the unobservable. And that unobservable, that's Krishna. That's Vishnu.
So as you're saying, Brahma is born of Virat, but usually we hear the description that he's born of the lotus of...
Yes, but how is it happening that the Lord is manifesting without, you know, going through the process of, you know, impregnating the female and somebody being born because of that element, because the feminine, the energy is non-different from the energetic, so therefore he can then produce things. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, the production is still done through his energy. Does that make sense?
So in between Vishnu and Brahma's birth, the Virat is manifested prior to...
No. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu enters the universe. Then after, sleeping and all that for so long and all, and filling the water with half water and resting there. That's how he's Narayana, because that water that is manifested, he rests in, that is the Ayana, right? And then all living entities are established within him, so then it comes out as Narayana. Does this make any sense? Something. So then the primordial creation is manifest before Brahma, right? Then after that, then Brahma appears. You know what I'm saying? The point is Mahavishnu is there, a lotus comes out of his navel, and then he appears on the top, right? And is done, we see, without any female. But the point is anything that's done, the Lord is doing through his energies. You can't separate. But it's not done according to the rasa of masculine and feminine. This is done just as his position as Godhead. You know what I'm saying? So you can't separate the two. You know what I'm saying? The Lord does everything. It's him doing it, but he does it through his energies. You know, it's just like you pick up the food and put it in your face. Right? But who is this you? Right? It's the soul. But how did you pick it up, actually? With your hand. So the soul didn't go down there and pick it up. He picks it up through his hand. So you can say, he picked it up. You understand? So in the same way as Krishna is manifesting everything through his energies. But it's still through his energies that it's being done. You know what I'm saying? Does this make any sense? Is that? See, this is the element of these simultaneous aspects. So this is where these people in here, these six systems are going to very, very fine degree. But they're not going to as fine a degree as we take it. Right?
But are there instances where Krishna acts directly?
He acts directly, but his energy is non-different from him. Do you ever act directly?
No, but he's
the point God. Is that him and his energies are non-different. He's non-dual, but his energies can manifest a form in which he has rasa with. So therefore, through the normal social etiquettes, things are being done in rasa. But if you're dealing just with tattva, then Krishna and his energies are non-different. So when he does something, it's him doing it. Those energies are doing it for him.
So tattva, Krishna will act directly only in rasa, not in tattva.
No, directly in tattva, not in rasa. See, because as soon as we bring out that there's two elements, then you take it that it's two different people. But the point is Krishna and his energy are non-different.
Yes.
Right? Krishna is walking down the path in Vrindavan. He's doing that through his yoga maya. That means through his energy. It's him doing it. The man goes out and he buys the car himself. But what does he buy it with?
His money.
His money is his energy. But you'll say he bought the car. You don't say his money bought the car. You understand? But he manifests his wife then either he can go down and buy it, or his wife can go down and buy it. You understand? It's two different things. You're dealing with just him. It still is his energy. There's still not going to be a difference between him and his energy. But at the same time, there is. But in rasa, then he has, you know, a company. He has this, he has that. So you can identify it. Through the money of his company, he bought his car. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But in principle, it's his money. Right? Does that make sense? So these are fine points that if one can accommodate them, then one can be able to work with multiple things happening at once. Because Krishna is very famous for doing that. He'll do one activity, many things will get done. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be able to see these different things. See how it's his quality. He is the cause, right? And the effect is his energy. At the same time, the living entity thinks that his performance, the activity, is getting that cause or getting that effect. So because he thinks like that, which is an illusion, therefore he is under the law of karma, right? And he gets the reaction. So technically, these things go on. There's no reaction. You know what I'm saying? Like that? Yes.
Primary creation, is that the act of Mahavishnu?
No, that's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Mahavishnu, he creates the universes. But Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he does the primary creation, manifests Brahma, who then does the secondary creation. And then Kiradakshaya Vishnu, he enters into everything. So technically, because he's entered into everything, Kiradakshaya Vishnu also you can count as the universal form. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the concept of the elements, the primordial concept of all the elements, that's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. But the actual action and reaction of those primordial elements, you know, based on the karma of the living entities and the desire of the living entities, that manifests that you can see, right? The direction of that's Kiradakshaya Vishnu, that's Paramatma. Right? So if you're just seeing the energies and their interactions, that principle, that's the Parabrahman level of understanding. You're seeing Paramatma involved in the control of all that and the relationship, therefore, between the living entity and Paramatma, as opposed to the living entity and the principles of the Brahman aspect of the creation, right? Then that's Paramatma understanding. Right? When you understand it's Krishna who is manifesting these things, it's he who expands and takes all these things. But he, still doing that, he still is separate from that as a person who has his own pastimes in the spiritual world. That's Bhagavan. Right? Because Bhagavan means he is the creator, everything expands from him. That's nice, but still, he has his own pastimes. You know, the man is at home, you know, with his wife and family and all that. His office is still running, his factory is still running, everything's still going on. It's because he's there. It exists. Therefore, it's going on. But he as a person is at home with his family. You know what I'm saying? So in Krishna's case, he expands and sits there in the office eternally. At the same time, he still sits at home eternally. Right? So, in other words, his potencies that make it all work, that's the Brahman level. His running of the office, that's his Paramatma level. His sitting at home and enjoying with the family and friends, that's Bhagavan. So he does all three at once. Is that okay?
Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam, after describing the Virathrupa, they're saying that actually that form is imaginary.
It is imaginary. But the point is those principles are there, because it's conceptual, but it's not that it's not real. You know what I'm saying? It means you have earth, water, fire, air, ether. Then
mind.
Mind. Okay. So mind is an element. Does it exist? Okay, but the mind imagines things. Because that's what you, let's say you take a stone and you make something, you carve something in stone. What do you call it?
Art
or a sculpture, right? Now, if you carve something in the mind, what do you call it?
Imagination.
You understand? It's real, but at the same time, it's imaginary. It means it's not.
So it's been carved just for the purpose of explaining to a certain audience?
No, it's there. Just like the material world is there. All this variety is there, whether you're in Maya or not. You're an illusion, it's still there. You're not an illusion, it's still there. So the principles, all the elements of the Virat Rup are there. But the point is why are they manifest in the secondary creation? In the primary creation, that is his creation, because this is all the different kinds of forms and situations in which the variety of forms under various circumstances can interact. Right? That's the principles on which it's all functioning. Why is it manifest? The living entity's desire. So that's manifest by Brahma. So that's what we see. But it's still based on the primordial creation. That's why that's the cause. We see something here, cause and effect. You know, I'm hungry, therefore I cook lunch. Like that. But where does, what, I'm hungry, so that's what's going on here within Brahma's creation. But where did hunger come from? From Virat Rup. So he's the cause of all causes. You understand? I did that. Why did you cook lunch? I'm hungry. Everyone will go, okay, that's a cause. You know, I say I'm hungry. That'll fit into the ablative, right? It's going to work. But the point is where did the concept of eating come from? Where did hunger come from? That comes from Virat Rup, right? Which means it's come originally from Krishna. So that cause, that's actually what you're looking for. So you're searching for Krishna. You're a hunger. You're experiencing Krishna. You're searching for Krishna. Then you want to relieve yourself of that hunger. And then that satisfaction, that's also Krishna. The concept of food is Krishna. Cooking is Krishna. The elements of the cooking, they're all made out of Krishna. So all the living entity is doing all day is interacting with Krishna, no matter what he's doing. Even he's selling a second-hand car. He's still, it's Krishna. But he's an illusion and thinks it's not Krishna. You understand? You understand the advantage of seeing on this level? That means if you're in Alachua and you sell, you know, second-hand cars, it's still all Krishna. You don't see like this, then you're selling an old Buick or something like that, and what's it got to do with anything other than it makes money? And then that money, if you think about it, you can gauge that in Krishna's service if you actually do. You know what I'm saying? So until you've done the whole activity and given the result, then you get the benefit. But this is, at the moment, it's all going on. You can be Brahman realized while you're selling your second-hand car. You know, telling the guy, hey, check the tires. You know, you can tell him all that stuff. Yeah, it's all Brahman. His foot's Brahman also. His shoe is Brahman.
That car is.
The concept is, but not the actual manifestation. Yes.
The name of the Vishnu enters into every in Paranama, is it Kiridakshya?
That's Kiridakshya Vishnu.
So Vishnu means to enter into, as far as
I know. Probably. I'm sure it's one of the many meanings of it.
I suppose I'm just leading on from that. I'm just wondering why Vishnu is called Vishnu for the other.
Because he's entered into the universe. Right? Mahavishnu is because he's the one who enters.
As far as I know.
Means he is Sadashiva's entering. And then having entered, then there's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So that's why Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is technically in the flavor of has that flavor of Sadashiva.
Isn't Vishnu a name only for God in the material world, right?
No, Vishnu is also in the spirit Vaikuntha planets. Means all forms of Krishna are Vishnu Tattva. So it goes right back. So Braja Krishna is also Vishnu Tattva.
Narayan or other.
But they're all Vishnu Tattva.
Okay.
They're all cars, but this one you say it's a Buick, this is a Chevy, you know, this is a, what do you call it, a Duesenberg, you know, like that. So they're all there.
Sometimes our conscious is called Vishnuloka.
Yeah, it's called Vishnuloka. Right? And Goloka is the supreme Vaikuntha planet. Does that make sense? So Vishnu is not a problem. Those who are worshippers of any form of Vishnu are Vaishnavas. Right? So it's not just for the material world. Does that make sense?
I'm just thinking that that name was usually referring to Mahavishnu.
No, but also Vishnu and Vaikuntha. The four Kumaras went to see Lord Vishnu. Like that. Because Narayana is dealing with the water in the universe.
Many times Prabhupada says the Vishnumurtis in the Vaikuntha planets.
Is it the word Vishnumurtis? Yeah, Vishnumurtis. So it's a standard term. It just means the separated Vishnu Tattva from Lakshmi, you know, from Shakti Tattva. Like that. So you can tell, so you have the Shakti, you have the Jivas, you know, they're separate. And then the Shakti, you have your Antaranga and Bahiranga. Now, so these are all your major divisions. So it's all non-different from him, so he's always eternally manifest in his original forms, Vishnumurti forms, in his internal potency, external potency, in the jivas. These four manifestations are always there. They always exist. So the energy is always, because the point is if he is light and then you have his internal potency, what's on the other side of the internal potency? Yeah, he's the shadow. You have light and you have some substance on the other side would be a shadow. So that means the external potency always exists. And then where the junction between the internal potency and the shadow, what's that point? Yeah, that's us. So it means there's always there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that was the difference because some in the spiritual world, some of the living entities are, for lack of a better term, or the personalities, right, are manifested directly from the internal bodies.
Is that a problem?
No, it's not a problem. I'm just trying to understand.
Okay.
So what's there, you know, what's the difference, for example, of basically, if, you know, if the internal potency can manifest, you know, so many personalities, what is the need for us?
But the point is it's if Krishna is light, then that means there's going to be a shadow. No?
If he wants to.
Look around. You know, is there a shadow behind this pot?
Yeah.
Okay, is there a junction between where the pot is and the shadow starts? You know, what about this tape recorder? That column over there.
But I mean for his enjoyment, I mean, where is the need for it? I mean, not need or...
You don't like shadows. You don't like sitting under a tree and finding shade. You would rather sit under the tree and the sun is still right on your head.
You were mentioning in some of your lectures that the cows and the birds and many of these living entities are not jivas. They're just manifesting from the internal potency directly.
Yeah, from the sandini.
And then some of that...
Because you have sambit... Okay, if you want to look at it from that angle, then you have sambit, sandini, and ladini. So some vids is that masculine principle, Vladini is the feminine principle. What's in between? The interaction. And what are we? Are we, which one of those two are we? But are we the internal potency?
No.
So then we're something that's in the pastimes in between.
Like the child?
No, like the instrument. You have the cook, and you have what's being cooked, then you have the spoon. Now the spoon, in one sense, is doing the cooking. But actually, who's doing the cooking? The cook, and what's being cooked? The vegetable. So what is in between? So therefore, the spoon is acting under the direction of the cook, but according to the need of the vegetable. That's us.
Okay, then let's say the cows or any of those personalities that are manifested directly from the internal potency. They're also instrumental, or are they in a different?
Everybody is serving, so everybody technically is. But the point is what do you worry about? What someone else's? Why worry about someone else's job? Are you dissatisfied with yours?
No, I'm just trying to
understand. No, you understand? Because the point is that everybody serves. God serves also. So service is the natural thing. The point is our enjoyment comes from serving, pleasing Krishna, right? The internal potency is pleasure is serving Krishna. We're part of the internal potency, so that's naturally how we find pleasure. But in not being directly internal potency, but being the expansion of, we find our pleasure in assisting the internal potency in serving Krishna. Okay. That establishes our position.
But those cows, they also have an individuality.
Yeah, is that a problem?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to clear gray area as much as possible.
You prefer gray cows than brown cows?
Yeah. Or,
Krishna likes brown cows.
So,
right. Have you ever heard of saying, how now, gray cow? No.
So some
it's got to be a brown cow.
We have individuality, but they are directly manifested from the internal potency.
The internal potency is manifest from the internal potency, and they are personalities. Lalita is not a personality.
Yeah.
What about Vishakha? Vishakha appeared at the same time, because she's actually the shadow. She looks exactly the same as Radharani. They appeared at the same moment. She's called Anuradha, the small Radha. Is she not a separate person?
Yes.
So that's the thing is, as expansion is there, they're their own personality. Right? The Vishnumurtis are expanding. Balaram is expanding from Krishna, but isn't he his own personality? Right? Like that. So that's the whole point, is everything's conscious, but as you separate, it's conscious on its own. So the internal potency, all manifestations are conscious themselves, and we're expanding from that, and we're conscious. And the material energy is the shadow of that internal potency, and she's conscious. As a person, the stuff that we see is not so conscious.
So the acharyas, like the nitya siddhas that are coming, they may not necessarily be jivas, they can be just...
They may be whoever they are, but in our line, generally, they're all jivas. But like in Ramanuja's line, the alwars, they're not... I don't know if any of them are jivas, but a lot of them are not. Tirumangai, he was the sword of Vishnu. Someone else, I think, was the earring, or different things like that. They're all different personalities. Like that.
Maybe this point is so hard to understand, because we can't understand what it's like to be an individual, but at the same time, be totally free from contamination and just want to love and serve Krishna.
It could be, because we think individuality means, Maya, so therefore happiness means that individuality is gone.
Yeah.
Like that. It's just,
So the major difference we have with this personality is that we have a...
We can fall down, they'll never fall down. Because the internal potency is Krishna's potency, so it naturally has love for Krishna. But because we're on the edge between the internal and the external, we can see both, so we can choose. Our natural position is, because we're expanded of the internal potency, we're part of the chit potency. Of sat chit ananda, we're part of chit. The sandini, sambit, ladini. So sambit, we're expanded from sambit. Right? And so, in that position, then we it's our natural position to have affection for Krishna. Right? That's the inherent thing that the jivas in the material world are looking for anyway, is happiness from a superior source. right? Due to that superior source, interacting with that superior source, right? But we're not, you know, understanding that it's the superior source, or we're mistaking that superior source to be part of material energy, you know, or supposedly Brahman, but then our individuality is coming from material energy. You know, so it's all these are not very good understandings. They're not complete. You know, there's some truth in them, but it's not enough to actually free us from material contamination, because the illusion about what's actually going on is so strong. Right? So you're freed because of knowledge. Right? Understand? And, you know, pleasing Krishna. So when that knowledge is in connection with Krishna, then he's pleased, then you become liberated.
So these Sankhya, where do they stop? I mean, at which point did you not go further?
That we'll see as we're going, but we see right here is that, you know, we're starting,
so
we got to one
sentence. With our philosophy.
Because all these six systems are originally from our philosophy.
They're like a branch instead of the whole tree.
Yeah, they take a branch and try to make a whole tree out of it. That's the problem. If the branch is understood as a branch, then it's part of the Vaishnava philosophy. But if the branch claims to be the whole tree, then the branch itself, they're going to have to say the branch part, that's the trunk. When it's not, the trunk's something else. There is a trunk, but it's not that.
And a non-Vedic, they take a little bit from here and there.
Like that, yeah, a little bit.
At best.
And mainly it's just a little, yeah. It's very few of it's logical and stuff like this. It's just their false ego is very great. They learn an attitude to always be very confident about it. Like that. That's the... means. In other words, that means when you're trained as an academic, that's what the main thing that they train you is how to be very, very proud of what you've learned. Right.
I studied engineering, studied process, studied medicine. Was the first thing they told you when they go in, you're the best, you're the greatest. You know, if you're an engineer or
Top 2%
isn't it? In medicine,
yeah.
They said the same thing.
Like,
that's the first thing they
told
you,
gotta
be puffed up.
Those typical, you know, British colleges always have this kind of logos and slogan, you know, like.
Yeah. But the point is, the principles they're based on are good. The difficulty is it's not taken far enough. So the difficulty in these we see by these personalities, they don't take it far enough. They have elements. Nyaya and Vaisheshika both accept God as the supreme controller who's eternal, who's beyond the material contamination, who is in control of it. But they don't accept there's a relationship with him. So they don't take it far enough. You know.
Nyaya would accept him as the source of logic, then everything operates through logic. And
yeah, and by that you get to the...
after that he has created logic, he's separate from...
It's not a matter of so much that. They don't even go to that degree. They're not worried about him as a person and, you know, what he thinks or feels. There's just a supreme controller. That's all. That's all there is.
That's his job, and that's it.
Yeah, so they don't go that far. That's where the weaknesses are. You know what I'm saying? Is that they're able to see how things function, but won't take it farther. That's the difficulty.
The typical attitude of the Nyayi will always ask, where's the prayer? We say, like, Krishna is built, and he will say, where's the proof? You
know, but they're not Nyayas, they're not following Gautama.
Oh, they're like modern.
They're just following some form of rhetoric. Logic means to be able to establish what is non-fallacious argument, right? In other words, you have something, two things that are observable, right? And then there's a third thing that's inferred. So one of those elements of that's observable has to have a connection with the unobserved, right? And that has to be able to be proven beyond a doubt, right? Because it's always there. Smoke always exists because of fire. Otherwise, there is no smoke. But fire can exist without smoke. But smoke can't exist without fire. So if you see a mountain and you see smoke, then you can say, because smoke is always connected to fire, right? Because smoke's not connected to a mountain. Smoke's connected to fire. Therefore, there's fire on the mountain. That's Nyaya.
So Sampradayik Nyaya can take Vedas as evidence.
All these things are Astic philosophies. They all accept the Vedas. They all accept the authority of the Vedas. All these six systems. That's why they're superior to any kind of non-Vedic knowledge. But they still don't go far enough. Does that make sense? Yeah, they just don't go far enough.
Because these other so-called nyayis, they don't have any basis. That's why they can just keep going, what's the proof, what's the proof, what's the proof.
It means if you study the nyaya, then you'll see is most of the time the arguments they're giving are not real arguments. They're bogus arguments anyway. So if you actually understand the system of nyaya, you can point out how their point is not real. So that is where we use nyaya, because nyaya is one of the 14 books. It's just a system of logic. Right? The problem is that system is taken as a philosophy rather than a method of presentation of philosophy. In other words, instead of it being combined with philosophy, therefore it's on Vikshiki, they take it as actually Mimamsa. Right? It is a philosophy. That's the... Does that make sense? Like that. So if you have more questions on that, you have to go back and either read or listen to the lectures that are given, because we're on Shankya now. Okay, so then on Monday then we'll go through the five basic arguments to show that the cause actually changes into the effect.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jayanitai Gaura Premananda.